Good morning. My name is Monica Cornetti, and I'm your host for the weekly Gamification Talk Radio program. Now, Gamification Talk Radio airs every Saturday from 11 to 11:30 Central Standard Time, U.S. And the great thing about Blog Talk Radio is if you haven't been able to listen to it live, you can always go and download on demand any of the previously recorded programs, and you can see them all listed there. We're also out on iTunes, where you can download the podcast on iTunes. And this program is for human resource and training and development specialists. We've designed it to be internal facing gamification. So if you're trying to solve a management or leadership problem, or you're working on onboarding or recruiting employees, this is what this program is about. And each week we bring you guests that include different gamification gurus or platform providers and even end users, because I like to show you how different people are applying gamification, because it always helps us if we can connect the dots and say, oh, I know they're in a different industry, and I see that that could perhaps work for us too. We'll just change it a little bit. Because of my work in gamification, I've had the opportunity to meet and talk with some of the most fascinating people literally around the world, and this week my guest is one of those people. Now, we affectionately refer to him, his fans, he's got worldwide fans, and we refer to him as Tiagi. And his name, now, been practicing, so let's see how we do, but my guest name is Dr. Sivasailam Tyagarajan, and we all call him Tiagi. And I first found out about Tiagi when I got certified as a trainer back in 2003. And some of the people that were doing the certification at this organization were talking about Tiagi and the website. And at that time, this is all new, and he had so much great information out there, and he still does today. One of the trademarks, I think, of a really successful person who realizes their success and is comfortable in it is that they share that with others willingly. And that is the picture of Tiagi. If you look out at tiagi.com, there is just a ton of information there for you. And today we're going to be talking about games and gamification and serious games and games and learning. And we hear these terms, and oftentimes they're confusing. Our clients don't understand them. The audience doesn't understand them. We sometimes don't understand them. And we're going to work on untangling that terminology so that you can communicate for others what you do. And when others are talking with you about different terms, you can feel confident in understanding them. So let me tell you a little bit about Tiagi, then we'll jump in. He was born in, Tiagi, help me, Chennai, India?
Correct.
Chennai, okay. Dr. Tiagi was born in Chennai, India, and has lived most of his life in Bloomington, Indiana. He's an expert in the area of game design. He's designed more than 400 training games and simulations, and has written 40 books on the subject. You, again, just Google Tiagi and you're going to pull all this up. I asked him a few minutes ago what he was working on, and he's working on a brand new game, a computer game. So he's going to be upping that number. He's conducted workshops on interactive training in 25 different countries around the world, and we have the honor of having him on our program today. So, Tiagi, again, thank you so much for joining me and the audience. And I got some questions from the audience that I'll be intermingling in today also. So, thanks for being part of the program.
Thank you, Monica. That must be you calling on the other telephone. This is a great honor. I just choked my telephone. Hey, it doesn't stop ringing. This is a great honor, Monica. I have always been an admirer of yours. And today I feel like I'm sitting at the feet of one of the gurus in our field. So throw some bizarre questions at me and let me see what I can talk about.
Okay. Well, you've been doing this for a while, Tiagi. You've been prolific. You're one of those people that I get jealous of at the amount of creativity and just the activities, over 400 activities. That's a lot of activities. What made you so passionate about this type of work?
It all started when I was 7 years old. I was playing checkers or draughts, as we used to call in the British Raj, and with my uncle, and losing consistently. So I got tired and I said, tell you what, let's change the rules. I get to play two turns and you get to play one turn. That way you will find it challenging. I will find it interesting. And my uncle said, okay. And after about three more games, I consistently started beating him. That's when I decided it's better to be a game designer than a game player. And in 1998, I think you were in the seventh grade at that time. In 1998, I decided to design a game or a training activity each day, every day, including weekends and holidays. And I have been doing it for the last ever so many days. And I put some of the games in a monthly blog, some of the games in the book, and people get curious, why am I doing this? And my wife has the correct answer. She says that I'm slightly psychotic.
Well, I have to say, not that I think you're psychotic, but I did talk with you about you to a colleague today, and I said, here is this master of game design, game thinking, playful thinking, having fun, turning. When you look at some of the activities, if you go out to tiagi.com and you look at some of the activities, what he turns into playful design are some things that are not so easy to address in the workplace. So here's this master of this playful design who at the same time does spreadsheets and times things out and like analytical. And I was saying to my colleague, I was really surprised. A lot of people I've talked to in that creative side, I mean, they're just a mess. you know, talking to them, they don't go out the door with the same colored shoes on. You know what I mean? They got a brown and a black, you know, but they're creative. And I was like, this man is so creative, yet at the same time, which is, I guess you've got this process and it works for you. That's how you're able to be so prolific. I'm not really asking you a question, but do you find that surprising about yourself that you have the both sides like that?
Yes, no. People have different obsessions and different manias and phobias. I'm technically the resident mad scientist in my organization, and I like the role of not having to worry about where am I going to get my money, because some of the younger folks keep selling things, doing things, and they keep me in the basement and I get to do anything I want.
Oh, that's nice. That's good. Well, you've earned that. It's not something that you get to that stage without having put some hard work in, a lot of hard work. That's really good. So let me ask you this. When you first started taking the concept to corporate about using games or games in learning or activities, interactive training, I imagine you got some pushback. Is that true?
Definitely true. And one of the things I learned it from you, is I don't call them games when I talk to the clients. I tell them I'm going to design a modified Delphi technique, or I'm going to come up with a non-computerized group decision support system. And they don't react negatively to those highfalutin terminology. But the good news, Monica, hopefully you are also facing this, is the new generation loves games. The new hires and the new managers, especially in high-tech companies, I asked one of the groups of technical trainers, what's your prediction of what's going to happen 30 years from now in our field? One of the participants stood up and said, "I know for sure 30 years from now, you'll be dead." So the new generation is just waiting for the older generation, including the trainers and the facilitators, to drop dead so they can do the learning the way they enjoy learning, just in time, just enough, just for them, online type of a thing. So the good news is the amount of complaints and criticism about using flaky things is getting reduced significantly.
I agree with you on that. And I know that you work internationally. Do you find that there are some cultures that get more they give you more resistance to the concept of games than others culturally across the globe? People may be reticent to enter in. They would prefer to just sit and listen rather than get involved. What do you see globally?
Monica, this is something I say with all humility. I haven't met any group which I'm not able to be playing a game, mostly manual, hands-on, classroom kind of games within 5 minutes around the world. And my friend, the anthropologist, say that's because playing is a universal human phenomena. That is why we are Homo ludens. Playing is what makes us unique, and there is no culture, no country around the world where playing is not appreciated, is not found to be engaging. I don't know if it is true, but as long as it don't insult people, I respect the local cultural values. Mm-hmm. For example, when I'm doing something in Saudi Arabia, I will not have men and women holding hands and having a conversation. If I'm doing something in India, for example, I will not have mixed groups of older people whom you are supposed to respect, shut up, listen, and follow their advice, mixed with the teams of younger people. So I make some minor cultural adjustments. And with some people, I maintain a poker face. With some people, I keep on laughing. So with some intelligent facilitation changes in your personality, I think you can get away with murder anywhere in the world. And I'm sure you have done it.
Yeah, that's good to hear that. I know that when I have worked, like, for example, like I worked in the Mariana Islands and just a little bit more reserved. And like you said, though, within minutes, they were fully engaged. And quite surprisingly, I have to say that the one group who I thought, oh, you know, it'll be okay. I know they're getting it. It'll be okay. They came back. I mean, they were like, because I had everyone, it was a couple day training. Everyone's doing a presentation at the end, but they were literally singing and dancing at the end.
Exactly.
During the presentation, I was like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my life. And it was just, I didn't dictate how it had to be done. We just talked about ideas and they worked amongst themselves. And when they first told me their idea, I thought, oh, I don't know. But, you know, if we don't try and I think just have that heavy kind of top down control of it has to go a certain way, if we'll just relax on it. And I just want to go back when you were talking about, you know, that play is what we do. I remember when my children were young, I would always get this one brand of toys. It was called Discovery Toys. I think it's still on the marketplace, educational toys. But their little logo was something like, play is the work of children, something like that. And I was like, I mentioned I have this new grandbaby. He's 9 months old now. And he doesn't even, you know, he doesn't understand the concept of play, but like when he gets excited about something, his little legs just can't even stop them. They're just going back and forth so fast. And I've got a bucket of water and some cups out the other day and sat down with, and he saw the water and the cups and
Wow.
his little legs, and he doesn't even understand what it is we're going to do. He doesn't know. He just knows Grams is sitting down on the floor with me and we're doing something because, we're always down on the floor. And he was so exciting. And then he just like, he had such a blast. Just,
Yes.
it's just a bucket of water and plastic cups. It's nothing.
Exactly.
And that whole con and this is he doesn't even have the ability to even understand that we're playing. It's just he in it's that intrinsic inside of him that this is something that I want to be a part of. And I think that, of course, as adults, we're serious people doing serious work, and we need to put the games down and
Yes.
get to work. And that I try not to use terminologies like games. I had a colleague ask me that very question I asked you, what do I do? Because he works overseas quite a bit. Like, well, first off, take the word game out of your vocabulary. Let's not call it that at all. Let's find a way to make it serious by name and playful by nature. Let's just turn that around.
Exactly.
Which brings us to this whole thing about terminology. Why are we splitting hairs about gamification terminology? Why are we wasting our time on that? What's up with that, do you think?
You can call whatever you do by whatever name. You can call it mashed potatoes if you want. But one of the things I find in talking to my audience and talking to my clients is when they say, can you do gamification? Because they read it in some in-flight magazine that is the next great thing since sliced bread. That perception of what it is probably very different from my perception. And I think that is a difference between game and gamification and learning games and things of that nature. So if you don't have a common language to talk to with each other, then we get confused, they get confused, and that gives mixed expectations, and what you end up doing may not be what your client wanted you to do, even though you thought you were both doing gamification or game design or play. And I think there are differences in degree, in quality among these various concepts, Monica.
I agree with you, and I agree with you every step of the way, including the first one. I don't care what you call it. As long as we can get results that you need. So if
Exactly.
you have this right now, but you need that over there, well, how are we going to get that over there? How are we going to get it with? I have this little, it's hard to measure, but I call it the hassle factor. Everything that we do, there's some kind of resistance we'll get for lots of different reasons, and creates this little hassle. Well, how can we get over there with the least amount of hassle that people are wanting to get there? There's a, I think it was Dwight Eisenhower had this quote about motivation is getting people to do what you want, and then
Yes.
think it was. And I think we could just take that word motivation out, put gamification, and then the quote is still true.
Exactly.
Yeah,
Exactly.
it's getting them to do what we want them to do. And they want to do it. It's like this is not dragging anyone. This is something that they willingly,
Exactly.
yeah. So let's talk about then. We have these different terms. So help me. What exactly, when you say game, what exactly is a game?
Wonderful. To me, a game has four critical characteristics. Now I'm getting into the professorial mode. If I get too boring, start yelling at me. So, critical characteristics, four of them, they all begin with the letter C, just critical characteristics. One of them is contrivance, another one is conflict, another one is control. And the fourth one is conclusion. So, by contrivance, this is the concept of magic circle among serious philosophers of games, which says when you are inside a game, you accept the rules, you do certain things. Games are not real life. That is why we keep saying, hey, chill. After all, it's only a game. So Contrivance means something playful, something artificial, something inefficient. So that is a requirement for a game, especially the game with buckets of water and cups, like the games you play with your grandchild. And conflict means you got a goal, there are obstacles toward going to your goal, and it could be competition between you and somebody else, your team or some other team. Alternatively, it could be a conflict of your using limited resources to build a civilization, or it could be a conflict between your previous score and today's score. Conflict is not the same as competition, but competition is sometimes a type of conflict. And then the next one is control. Games have rules, and we enter into a game agreeing to abide by the rules, rules related to taking turns, making moves, deciding what the scores happen, and keeping track. And contrary to what you may decide from playing Monopoly, all games come to an end. Games have got to have a conclusion. Without conclusion, without a termination rule, without a win state, it is not a game. It is play. So these four elements, the contrivance, the conflict, the control, and conclusion, these are the key elements that define a game, Monica.
That's really good. And if we're looking at gamification and thinking about designing good gamification like we design good games, these four elements that you just gave us are critical, which is why I guess they're called that, critical to designing good gamification also. And to me, of all of them, not like there's one more important than the other, but conclusion is one, which is why I love gamification in the learning and development arena. Because we have this we need to do. So how can we learn that, and how can we make sure that there's actual application in the workplace, that it's achieving what we needed to achieve, but we don't have to have it go on non-stop, never ending. And I think that's where a lot of the gamification, when we talk about fail and gamification is failing, it's because we're not trying to bring things to conclusion. I know there are gurus out there who disagree with me that it needs to end. Like, if you think about even that whole concept of like McDonald's Monopoly game, you know, they only roll that out once a year.
Yes.
And they get a 7% bump in their revenue, their net at once a year. Well, why don't they keep that going? Well, because they wouldn't do that then. It would, people would get tired of it. You'd have to keep changing it and adding to it. Is that bad? I think that it serves its purpose. They have added things to it over the years and made it a lot, you know, they've added the technology to it. But I think the power of it is it has a time that it's rolling out. People anticipate it, and it gets the results that they're looking for as a result of it. So I think these are, anyone who's listening, thinking about gamification, this is my viewpoint on it. Tiagi has, I guess, similar, you know, hey, you could disagree with us, but I don't know why you would. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding on that. Absolutely kidding. Because that's the great thing. You design it. If it works, great. If it doesn't work, change it, you know, change it then. Okay, so let's go back then. We have different kind of games that we played as kids that have all of these elements. If we take that, when you're talking about what are some different types of games?
Okay.
Yeah.
For example, if it is not contrived, but it has conflict and control and conclusion, it's not a game. It is a marriage. And if you have contrivance, conflict, and control, but no conclusion, that is play rather than a game.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are different types of games. And one type of game you and I specialize in is learning games, or training games, activities with an outcome. So just to keep going on the theme of everything begins with the letter C, a learning game has the critical characteristic of competence. You have a specific measurable training objective toward a competence, and if you design a game to increase a person's hard skill, like doing project management, or soft skill, like giving a feedback, that becomes a learning game. One interesting thing, Monica, is people learn from all games. And when your grandchild plays with a bucket of water, he, by the way, is it a he or a she, Monica?
It is a he. His name is Giuseppe.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
A typical Hindu name. Giuseppe is not learning hydrostatics, laws of buoyancy, but he's learning a lot more thing, like how can I manipulate my grandmother? And what are the absolute blackmailing principles which every baby should have? Every game you play, you learn things. But to me, a learning game or a training game or an instructional game is deliberately designed to teach you differential calculus or teach you Swahili. So that is the type of game I specialize in. And there are times I play games, Monica, just for the fun of it. I play endless rounds of Scrabble. And why am I doing it? Because of other variables like status, like achievement, like my need to kill my colleague Matt, who thinks is smarter than me. So games are played for their own sake. Learning games are played for the sake of increasing my competence. And there is also a concept of simulation games, where the key characteristic is there is a correspondence, there is a reflection between the game and the real world. So if I'm doing a driver education kind of a game, it becomes a simulation game. So pure games have no redeeming values at all. You play because, as James Carsey, the theologian, said, if you must play, then you cannot play. If game is a requirement, that is truly not a playful game. That is either manipulation on the part of the game designer or something stupid on my part. So pure games have no other intention than passing time. Learning games have the intention of your learning something. I do a lot of performance improvement consulting. And one approach to improving your performance is to learn new things. And the other approach is you already know how to do things, but you don't want to do it. It is a motivation problem. It's an incentive problem. To me, the difference between learning games and gamification, learning games, the purpose is to teach you new competencies. Gamification, the purpose is to motivate you. You already have the skills. You already have enough things to perform in a situation, but what the points and the leaderboards and the levels and all of those things do is to provide you initially extrinsic motivation until things kick in and you become intrinsically motivated. So if I'm training you how to be a call center operator. I may use a role play. I may use a game. Once you have the fundamental skills and knowledge, I want to keep you performing productively, performing with all of the quality criteria. That is when I use gamification. I use gamification not to teach you things, but for you to use, apply, transfer things that you already know. And I have a little gamification thing which says if I have talked more than 98 seconds, I'm boring somebody. So I'm going to shut up now.
98? It's 98
yeah.
seconds?
All right. Exactly. All right.
Well, I have to stop us here. That's all the time we have for today. I will bring you part two next week, and I think that you can tell that I am just delighted with Tiagi. He is everything you would envision him to be. He's gracious, he's generous, he's funny, engaging, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Next week in part two, what I'll be bringing you is our more in-depth conversation about gamification, and just like there's different types of gamification, what are the elements of those gamifications, how do we need to link game design. And Tiagi, with his experience, one of the things you got to love is that he is willing to say, well, this is a new generation of workers coming to the workplace. What we've been doing is probably not going to work with them. We've seen that already. What do we need to do differently? And there he is working on designing new games and activities to include in his design for clients. Join us next week. You can go out and access some of Tiagi's information. You'll look down below. His website is tiagi.com. You can connect with him at Twitter at Tiagi. Go ahead and access my website, monicacornetti.com, at the gamification link. Ton of free information, some free courses, free ebooks, free videos. Then you also see the link for Sententia Games. That is where you'll find the information on earning a gamification certificate. Now, that is for talent development professionals. It's specifically designed for those in HR, learning, and development. We're doing two live trainings coming up. If you're in the Fort Worth area, we have a live training on April 23rd. And if you're in Austin, we have a live training on May 8th. If you can't make either of those, our online certification program starts May 13th. You can see all that information at Sententia Games. Have fun this week, everybody. Remember, there's a lot of people that you work with who they're really kind of miserable. And whatever we can do to bring humor and lightness and joy into their situation will always come back to us. So game on, everyone. Have a great week. Bye-bye.